Healthy-ish is recorded live in the heart of Cedar Hill, Texas. Welcome to Healthy-ish, an educational podcast that navigates love, life, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Chrissy, and together I will be joined with Dr. Key, a relationship intelligence expert. Join us as we tackle some very controversial topics and stories. Due to some of the sensitive discussions regarding relationships and domestic violence, we advise listeners to use caution while listening. So today we have on the show with us, we have our host, Dr. Key, and I'm your co-host, Chrissy. And joining us today is our friends, Caprice and Veronica. They're going to be joining us in our discussion and dialoguing about feeling so good loving somebody when that somebody loves you back. And that's by Teddy Pendergrass. So with all that out of the way, I'm going to hand it off to Dr. Key. Dr. Key, you there?
Yeah, I am here. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fabulous. This is a great Thursday.
It sure is. And I am super excited because we're talking about things that people often think about, sing about, and often dream about. And the question is really whether this is a realistic thing or not. You know, you hear people talk about 50, is it 50-50 love or is it 100-100, you know? So there's a bit of a debate there as to what is really to be expected. And so I have a couple of ladies on the line today. I'm going to ask them to chime in if they have something they want to contribute to the discussion. But I know just as a family violence facilitator and as a family dynamics facilitator, I've seen a lot of people talk about how many children they had, how many relationships they've had. But when we talk about the topic of love, there are crickets in the room. It sounds like crickets, you know, because nobody really can explain what love really is. You know, and so we're talking about it. You know, Langford Avenue has, through this pandemic, developed a love center where we're wanting people to know that this is a place you can come to and find out what love is, what a relationship is supposed to be, what is acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's too far, what's not too far, and how to get back on track if you are both desiring to do so. And another song Teddy Pendergrass sings is, and we'll highlight that on another day, I Think I Better Let It Go. It looks like another love TKO. And there are times where you have to do that too, you know. But in this particular song, last time we talked about real love. And so today we're talking about it feels so good loving somebody when somebody loves you back. And so when I think about that song, I think about the love that exudes from his voice when he talks about it. Okay. Teddy Pendergrass says, not 70-30, you know, which means not me giving more than her, not her giving more than me. I'm talking about us both equally giving the same amount of love, loving each other the same. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And I'm just out here asking, is that realistic? Do you think that's realistic?
Well, I mean, I think that the idea is that, you know, it's something that should happen, right? That's something that should happen between relationships. And so we come to believe that that's what's expected, you know. But I think that depending on who you speak to and depending on the type of relationship you have, it may not be realistic.
Right. Should a person settle if they If they don't have it, should they stay?
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
So, just to chime in, I would have to say that I agree with Priscilla when she indicates that it's the idea that you want to know. But if you don't come from or you don't understand the perception of what love really is, or if you never seen it, it's kind of like you forever trying to live the expectation of, okay, so is this really real? I think we kind of have an upper hand, Precy, just because we've seen it through the Langfords, right? So we're able to actually know. Well, I know I can use them as my protege of saying I've seen it through them before. And you don't have to settle. And so just being a part of Langford Avenue has showed me that thing. And what happens is you get two people that are just broken individuals, regardless of what it was that broke them, their family, mm-hmm. something that they put themselves in or whatever the experience was. And then they try to fix themselves with the other person. And ultimately you have to love yourself first before you can even love somebody else, because if you love yourself so much and then that love exuberates to the people that are around you, it becomes draining because it's almost like you continue to try to give them something that they don't even have for themselves. So because they don't have it for themselves, they'll never be able to give it to you or anybody for that matter.
I'm telling you the truth. And you know what else? It is so hard to get them to receive it. They will... Yeah. Doubt it. They will discredit it. They will. They won't. They will question it. It's almost like, and people don't even understand this. It's almost like you're fighting someone to do something good for them. And the craziest thing. And I don't know if it's a cultural thing, to be honest. A lot of times we think it's cultural because that's what we've come from. It may be a societal thing. It may be a regional thing. It may be a girl thing. I don't really know exactly how systemic it is. But women tend to be nurturers, right? And so we want to help people. And we talked about this in the last show. And we want to nurture people, but then there are guys that are the same way. They want to nurture and help people, and we confuse that with and want to show them that life doesn't have to be that way. They can receive good love, you know, they can have somebody to love them, but they find themselves so frustrated because that person is not capable of receiving the love. Because the person is not wanting the love. And so we have to understand that in order for us first to receive that love, we have to be capable of loving ourselves so that we can receive it and give it, right?
And, you know, Dr. Key, you bring up a good point. And I just kind of want to go back to what you said earlier. Because I'm sure if you ask some people, you know, they'll tell you that they love themselves, if anything, right? If anything, I love myself. But what can people do to know the signs that someone doesn't love themselves? Because I think we often get into that trap of not really knowing if the person that we're in relationship with already has that self-love and is capable of receiving it from the other person.
Affirmation.
Right. So that's...
The power of affirmation. You can pretty much tell, like, a lot of times when people don't love themselves just based on the conversation. Or you can tell based on the personification of people. You can tell based on body language. A small example would be a lot of women being around each other and one always looking at herself in the mirror or tugging on her clothes or, you know, just not not even feeling completely affirmed. It even goes bigger than, it's bigger than the eye. It's bigger than even what you can see. I would equate it to being, what if we all were born blind, right? And the only thing that we had was the feelings that we have, the senses that we have. It's a feeling that you have from within yourself when you go into a space of love. So a lot of times people don't even understand it because they haven't even opened up their hearts to receive it. and it feels foreign to them. So when you say something to them or when you love them in a way, they feel it from within themselves, but they can't even identify because they've never been able to tap into it.
Right.
Right. And, you know, Dr. O is actually on the line too. So I hope he can chime in and give us some feedback from a male perspective. Because the other thing I was going to add to that, Veronica is very, she's on it when she says that those affirmations of how they treat themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen people smoke. I've seen people not take care of their bodies. Mm-hmm. I've seen people be negative to themselves, you know, talk about themselves. Sometimes when our own selves were critics, there are times where you have to tell them, girl, you look fine. What's wrong? You know, why are you tripping? Self-conscious, sometimes we're our own selves were critics. But that there are levels to it. You know, I think all of us are self-conscious to a certain degree. All of us have a desire to be better or change with time, you know, to keep improving. But it becomes a problem when you can't receive a compliment, when you are insecure, when you are questioning my motives, mm-hmm. and you're thinking I'm wanting something just because I'm complimenting you, or you know, there's you've been hurt in the past, and now all of a sudden that is reflecting on me, you know. Those are some of the things that give insight. We call them red flags, mm-hmm. that you are damaged. You hurt from the previous experience. And the craziest thing is my mom used to say this, and I know I told you some good things have been said in wisdom to tell you about relationships, but also some bad things, like the best way to get over a relationship is to get a new one, mm-hmm. right? But it does feel good to replace the person. But the sad part is if you replace the person too soon and you have wounds, then you're going to take those open wounds to that new relationship, those insecurities, you know. And so it's really important that you kind of bring closure to those things, because you'll take that into that new relationship and damage it, you know, sabotage it.
So then what should a person do if they, you know, they see the person that they're dating or that they wish to date or they're in a relationship with and is doing all the things that you mentioned or you described, that, you know, that they don't take care of themselves, they can't receive a compliment. Should that person continue to kind of, you know, try to help them, if that makes sense, or is it best to leave someone like that alone?
So we always advise communication, mm-hmm. right? So I have to be able to say, I'm noticing that, you know, every time I give you a compliment, it's brushed off, or every time I leave, you're second guessing where I'm going or what I'm doing. You know, I'm just trying to keep, I'm kind of curious as to where that's coming from and what that's about. And when you do that, it opens the door for them to tell you where that's coming from or why that's happening. Now, once we're talking about it, now I have to say, you know, so that doesn't make me feel comfortable. You know, mm-hmm. I get why you feel that mm-hmm. way, but that brings negativity, that brings hardship into our relationship. So we have, you know, we got to decide how we're going to deal with mm-hmm. it. And so what we're going to do, I mean, you know, I get that you feel that way. It's legitimate as to why you feel that way. But there are some, you know, things required, because it's not fair to me. Is it fair to me? You know, mm-hmm. and there are people that will say that. They'll say, I tell them that they're taking it out on me, but then they stay in it. So we got to do something about it. So we're going to counseling, or we're going to make a conscious effort to change it. So when you do it again, I'm like, okay, there you go. And then you're like, okay, my bad. I see it. So I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. But if you're continuing to do that, then you have to make a decision, because that's that person's choice as to whether they're going to process it and realize that was that last situation, that situation happen so I could receive a good situation. But if I don't look at it like that, then I'm going to sabotage this situation, right? So I got to look at that situation had to go sour for me to get a good one over here. But if I don't look at it that way, and I hadn't processed why that one went sour, and it needed to happen that way for me to be right here, then I'm going to look at it like everybody's that way, or I'm looking for it to happen again, and I'm going to sabotage this next situation. So if they don't, after the communication, and there's not a conscious effort to change it, then I highly recommend the person make a decision on whether they're going to stay in that trap, because you can't change people. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest problem we have in relationships. You have to understand that you have no power over nobody else. You're doing damn good if you have power over yourself.
Right.
There are times where I'll say I'm going to get up and, you know, walk 3 miles and drink eight ounces of glasses of water a day. And that, you know, that still haven't happened, mm-hmm. you know. So the reality is we can't control or make ourselves do what we want to do. I'm going to read a whole chapter of the Bible before the end of the year. I mean, you say these things, you set goals, and you don't complete them. So somebody needs to mute the phone. I hear a lot of feedback, if you don't mind. So we can't control anybody. So it's really important that we understand our limitations in a relationship. If the person chooses not to change, we have the choice to let them go. We have to let them go. And so I highly recommend communicating, be patient, but if they're not willing to change, understand that's part of it. Okay, feedback in the phone. You guys, mute your phones, please. Mute your phones.
I'm not sure while we're recording, if there's a ability for anyone to mute their phone.
Oh, I see.
While we're doing the live recording, but I mean, no, Dr. Key, what you're saying, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know, oftentimes we want other people to do what we won't even do for ourselves. And, you know, that's also a form of self-love in itself, because we can become so focused on the next person that we, you know, we don't even focus on ourselves, you know. So there is definitely a mutual thing that has to go on before you can start trying to fix on another person, you know. And so that love definitely starts within that person that's looking for the relationship. And I think that's the reason why in the song, When Somebody Loves You Back, Teddy's experiencing, he's experiencing true love as how he describes it, at least, you know, he's definitely not having he's having a 50-50 love at this point, you know? So he's having all these different types of experiences, and it's not at all, negative. And so I think that's the positive part. And so, you know, we just want to be able to encourage others to be able to have those similar experiences.
Right. Let's just take a second and dissect this song. I'm going to let him play it in just a second, and then we'll go into it. But we have to listen to these lyrics. They're not unrealistic, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy is saying here, I need somebody that's gonna love me the way I love them. I need that. It's not a relationship cannot survive. Listen to him. It's the only thing that my heart desires. Somebody that you got, and that's about it. It's so good. Needing somebody, and somebody that you got. See, so in his lyrics, you know, he's saying, and this is something that people don't pay attention to. This is something that people don't pay attention to. He says, appreciate you. To men, respect is appreciation. To women, love is more important. I mean, you know, it's sad, but it's true. This is about education. So he says, it's so good. You're giving me the love that I need. You're giving me the love that I want. And men, for a lot of men, love is respect, appreciation. Thank you. Thank you for taking out the trash. Thank you for looking out for us. Thank you for, you know, and when I was growing up, you know, a lot of times people thought that was kissing a man's behind. You know, his ego. He's ego tripping. But when you think about it holistically, a lot of times people are ignored. You know, there's a casual joke around about Father's Day. You know, this ugly little tie. You know, that the person gets, whereas Mother's Day is just blown all out, you know, where a man gets something. Mm-hmm. But when you think about the job of a man, they have to take out the trash. If they're doing what they're supposed to do around the house, you typically in traditional roles, they take out the trash. If there's a rodent, they get that. If there's a plumbing problem, they get that. I mean, you know, they do all the nasty, yucky stuff that nobody else wants to do. And so they cut the yard. They do the stuff that, you know, but women, we do things more on a consistent basis. So we feel like we do all the work, but they do the nasty stuff, you know. So it's not being, they deserve appreciation and respect as well. They deserve thank you and gratitude for the contributions. Coming home, taking care of the kids, playing ball with the children, making them feel loved. Those are things that men typically complain about, saying, you know, I do this, I do that, but I don't get any appreciation for that. And to them, that's respect. But when they go out somewhere, a woman compliment them. That's how those affairs occur. There's a book out called How to Have an Affair-Proof Marriage. And in that book, it talks about how a woman and a man have needs. And in those needs, if you're meeting those needs, then those people are less likely to have an affair. And so the author suggests that if the spouse is meeting at least the top six needs of the other spouse, emotional needs, then they're going to make it. I mean, it's like going into the grocery store on an empty stomach, because hunger is an emotional need. So if you go in on an empty stomach, you're going to likely, what happens when you go in a grocery store on an empty stomach?
You buy everything.
You're like, ooh, what's that? But if you go in full, you're more likely to go in for what you came for, right? And so,
can you tell us some of the benefits and, you know, maybe even some of the negatives, some of the positive negatives of being in this relationship that, you know, Teddy is describing as a mutual type of relationship where it's, you know, everybody's somewhat getting their needs met. Can you tell us what some of the benefits and the negatives are and why people should be aspiring to that?
I certainly would. I will use myself as an example, open book. I actually came out of college and I got married. And I married early, right out of college. As a rebound, I'd come out of a 6-year relationship. And there was a guy I met. He was showing me affection and love, I thought. And I married him in 6 months. And he was mature. He was an adult. He was responsible for himself. You know, he lived on his own, had his own business. And so I thought for sure, hey, why not? And why not date him? And in doing so, I ended up getting pregnant and ended up marrying him in 6 months. Now, in the maybe within the next 2 years, I had 2 children. And I stayed there as long as I could. And I realized I had made a huge mistake. Because the person that I was married to, I was not compatible with. We had nothing in common besides eating out, going to the movies. And I didn't know how I was going to get out of that situation. For holidays, I would oftentimes get gifts 2 days later, maybe a week later. It was not uncommon for me to spend most of the day by myself with my daughters, because he was working. That was understandable though. But when it came down to going places or doing things or philosophies on life, we were totally different, and we didn't respect one another's philosophies. He didn't respect mine. And I didn't respect his. I believe paying bills was a very important characteristic. My dad paid his bills on time. My dad would put his bills in a certain place, and at the beginning of the month, he would write them all out and send them out. So did my mom. This particular guy didn't do things like that. And so it was not uncommon for the lights to be turned off. And he'd have the money. He just didn't believe in paying them. Did I know this when I married him? Yeah. But I thought it was an accident. See, I married him 6 months, so I didn't know that this was a common thing. Then the lights would get turned off, but nobody else knew that. Then it became a public skeptical because the phone would be off. And people would know because they'd call in and they'd be like, why are your phone off? Now, why is this person paying the phone bill? Because I'm paying the house note, because you can't pay the house note on time. And that's in my name because I'm the only one with good credit. See? So those are emotional needs. Financial support is an emotional need of mine. I need you to be financially responsible. I need you to be affectionate. I need you to be, I'm going to respect you on Mother's Day, Christmas, Valentine's Day. I'm going to go all out. I expect the same. And if I'm not getting it, then I'm not going to be happy. So these are things that I didn't find out within a 6-month period. So I did not know that what I was getting into, and I found out quickly afterwards. And so I wasn't happy. So when you're not happy in a relationship, it's like going into a grocery store with an empty stomach. Mm-hmm. Your needs are not, you're emotionally empty. And anybody making, giving you attention, anybody showing you some love become attraction. And so it's very important that you have those needs met, or you have that type of love in the relationship, because when you have that, then that makes for an affair-proof marriage. That makes for a love that'll never end. Love is not a one-way street. So the way that the author describes it in this book is, if I'm meeting, for example, although I wasn't in love, I was willing to meet his need. But if I'm meeting his need and he's meeting his needs, who's meeting my needs?
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to meet my needs.
Absolutely. And
that is, you know, so many people will say, and the number one excuse for a cheater is, I'm working late. And oftentimes it's because the person has affairs at work.
Mm-hmm.
And that develops because when you're going to work, the person says, hey, you look nice today. Oh, you smell good. Oh, I like that cologne. Oh, I know your wife appreciate you. And all these compliments are coming. And so now, over the time period, I'm looking forward to these compliments, right? And over the time period, I'm sharing, now we're going to lunch, or I brought extra for you because I've developed a fondness because you're doing what? Meeting a need. So this is why it's so important that the love is mutual. It's not one-sided. And I gotta go here real quick, if you don't mind. It says, it's so good loving somebody and that loves you back. Just appreciate the little things I do. There's that respect. Oh, you're the one who's got me inspired. When you appreciate someone, it inspires them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it keeps on lifting me higher. It makes them feel so good, right? It says, we can build a world of love and a life of joy. Make our goal each other's a happiness. So it's like, if my goal is to make you happy and your goal is to make me happy, everybody's happy.
Right.
If you're, it says, it's so good needing somebody. Don't miss that. And they need you back. Needing somebody is important because you want to have somebody that you like, I need to talk to them. And there is somebody out there in this world that you need them because you know they're going to have some word of encouragement for you, something that just their smile is going to make your day. And I just want to encourage women. I just listened to a video from Bishop Jakes this morning, and he's talking about how women bring salt into a relationship, into mothers bring salt into a home. I mean, you know, mothers bring the spice, you know, our food. We make food taste good. We make children laugh. We make husbands smile. We bring the flavor, you know. Mm-hmm. That's one of the gifts God has given us, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's important for a relationship. And we shouldn't settle. And I remember in my relationship saying, I know there's more to life than this. Mm-hmm. In that first relationship, I remember saying, I was driving down the alley, coming home from work, and I took children, and I said, I know there's more to life than this. Mm-hmm. This is unbelievable.
Right.
And so I did, that's when my life started to turn upside down. I started to search for what else was there. And when I started to search for what else was there, I ended up leaving that relationship because it became abusive because I wasn't happy. And
absolutely.
When it became abusive, I got out. That was my way out. And when I got out of it, I stayed single for 8 years, getting to know me, love me, appreciate me, understanding my value. And I made a commitment to myself at that point. I would never love, I would never get in a relationship and marry and commit to anyone that didn't understand my value, appreciate my worth, and would not respect me and what purpose God gave me. And I knew I was going to do it for them, but I wasn't going to allow a person not to do that for me too, right? So I'm so grateful that I didn't settle. I mean, it was a hell getting out of it. It was hell going through it. But this song was the inspiration, because I didn't feel I had that. I didn't.
Absolutely. And Dr. Key, if you don't mind sharing with us your final thoughts, and how can people reach you if they have questions or they want to seek your guidance?
Absolutely. We're in Dallas. Langford Avenue serves the Dallas Metroplex area on a daily basis with classes, but we also provide life coaching, couples coaching, for premarital counseling and for postmarital counseling classes. We don't call it counseling, it's couples coaching. We help a lot of couples see the light in terms of better ways of treating themselves or leaving themselves, because there's no need in sticking around and torturing one another, right? Mm-hmm. And 214-870-4129 is the phone number. You can call langfordavenue@yahoo.com is the email. You can reach out to us on Instagram at Langford Avenue, Facebook, Langford Avenue, LinkedIn, Langford Avenue, or Dr. Keisha Langford. It's been a pleasure. I would love the most for everyone is that they find that real love, that 50-50 love.
Absolutely.
That love that's equal, that equally yoked love. The love that respects, the love that honors, the love that cherishes on a daily basis. And Veronica, you are absolutely right. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you do not honor and know your worth, you will not get what you deserve. You got to know what you're worth in order to get it. Thank you for joining us today, Veronica.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Veronica, for joining us, and everybody else that joined in today. We'd like to send a special thanks to our supporters, and for those listening, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or Spotify. Have yourself a great week, and be sure to join us next time on Healthy-ish.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Healthy-ish is proudly supported by Langford Avenue and the Avenue Proactive Resource Center. For more information, visit our website at www.enddomesticviolenceindallas.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.